that walk-up music means. From Bally Sports, Wisconsin, and the Milwaukee Brewers. And I have to say, things got a little contentious earlier about this Bucks potential asterisk if they win this series between Greg and Jesse. Things are about to get a little contentious between Sophia Minert and yours truly. She made a promise to me, and she has not delivered on it, and I'm not pleased.
Rut roll.
Let's welcome her in. One of my favorite humans, despite this failure. It is Sophia Minert on Wildy and Tausch. Sophia, hello. How are you?
I feel like this is such a somber start. Like, I have failed you in some way.
Well, you have. Because today I double-checked, and Al Minert still doesn't follow me on Twitter.
Oh, no.
Now, I can tell you, he follows Wildy and Tausch. He follows Mark Tauscher. He follows the Wisconsin Badgers. He follows Wisconsin football. He follows Devontae Adams. He follows Matt LePay. He follows Brian Anderson. And he follows Jesse Nelson.
That's the
one that hurts.
We called two games together last year. Me and Al were tight.
No.
Big Al.
You promised me you would rectify
this. I will have a stern conversation with Big Al after we finish this segment.
I am totally kidding. If he doesn't want to follow me, I'll just block him. That's fine. All right, so Sophia, let's talk Brewers instead of me poking fun at your dad for not following me on Twitter and me being sensitive about it. All right. I know, obviously, the defeat yesterday, but still, what, 14 out of 17 or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Of late, the big three. Jesse's been bragging about how he called this a long time ago about the pitching staff. What has it been like to watch this team in the 2 weeks since we last talked to you?
I mean, it's been really fun, obviously. And I think, you know, Willie Adames has a big part in it. I was just talking about this on MLB Central. And, you know, you think about where this team was. They had only won 2 out of 9. They had been swept by the Kansas City Royals. It was just kind of one of those stretches of the season where it just wasn't coming together. It just wasn't clicking for them. And then May 22nd, Willie Adames walks into that clubhouse, and they've been 17-5 since then. So it's just been, you know, it's not fair to put it all on him. Obviously, the pitching staff has done their part, but he's definitely had an incredible impact. And the word that you hear over and over and over again with Willie is just the energy that he brings, you know, and you see that on the field. I think he's bringing out the best of guys individually. I think that's having a collective effect on the group, even just, you know, the high fives and the hugs in the dugout and, you know, all the things that you're seeing of just how much fun he has on the field. I think it's made a big difference. And again, I think he couldn't have come at a better time, and the team's just kind of kept rolling. They keep winning series, and yeah, last night was a tough night, but everything prior to that has been probably the most consistently that they've played up to this point in the season.
Sophia, how many times have you seen that where a player comes in and can do that? Because that, to me, you know, we don't see that a lot covering the NFL where there are late season additions, but there have been instances of that in my career. Is he doing something that is really hard to do with a new team, or have you seen that happen before?
I think to your point about like football and baseball, I think in baseball you can just see the impact more because you see it every day, right? And you know, you can see the energy change, you know, in a team, whether it's in a clubhouse, in the dugout, on the field, how guys are interacting. I just think in baseball you have an opportunity to see it more because you get to see it every day. I think guys are capable of this. It's just rare, right? And like Craig Council says, it's just, you can see he has certain leadership qualities. And I think it starts with the energy, and it starts with him caring about his teammates, right? Like, you know, the first day that he came to the team, like, that could have been an awkward situation for Luis Urias, right? Because they had traded Orlando Arcia. They essentially, you know, made Luis Urias the everyday shortstop. He has this opportunity. Then they go out and acquire Willy Adames. And so that put Urias in this super utility role. And, you know, Luis, he homered in that first game that Willy was with the team. And the first one to greet him out of the dugout and take his helmet off and give him a big hug was Willy Adames, you know, the player that had essentially taken his position as at shortstop. And to me, I think that just tells you everything that you need to know about him as a person and as a teammate and how much he cares about the people around him. I mean, this is a guy who had been with the team a couple of hours, who had arrived to the team that day. So, and it's been that way since, you know, he's that way with everybody. So I think, I think certain people have those kinds of qualities. And I just think, especially in baseball, in the dynamic of a clubhouse with games every day and such a long season, you really just get an opportunity to see that more.
Sophia, we've known each other for a long time. You know how much I love Flag Day and how I believe it is the check-in day for the Major League Baseball season, because you start to separate contenders from pretenders. And I think it's a good time to look and see who might be active at the trade deadline. Is there still an area where the Brewers could use an uptick? Because the numbers aren't, they still aren't great on offense. I think there's something to be said for their clutch opportunities, and they seem to deliver in the clutch. But is, in terms of like a sustained upgrade, is this something David Stearns and Matt Arnold are in search of in the next month or so?
Probably, yeah. I mean, they're always looking to upgrade, right? I mean, I think even just making moves like the Arcia trade and the Willy Adames trade, and even, you know, most recently they added another reliever with Hunter Strickland. They're always looking for ways to upgrade, add depth, add talent. You know, I think, especially this season, we've seen, I think Hunter Strickland was the 46th player used already this season. That's just an insane number, considering they're usually at 50 to 55 for the entire length of the season. So they've really exhausted their depth. But in terms of production and everyday players, I think, you know, the easy spots to point to would just be the corner infield spots of first base and third base. I do think they still really like their options. I just think that's probably where they haven't gotten the consistent production. And it's just different things happening at each position. I think at first base, you know, Keston Hiura hasn't had the season that they expected from him. He's back in AAA for a second time. I do think Daniel Vogelbach deserves credit for how much work he has put in defensively to make himself an option at first base. That was something that was a big question mark at spring training. And I think he's done a really great job over at first base defensively, considering that. You know, I think everybody expected that his way onto the roster was going to be as a DH. And he's really solidified himself as a pretty good defender. And I think you're seeing the version of Daniel Vogelbach offensively that this team needs, you know, like any hitter. I think the home run comes in bunches, but he has a good approach. He has a good plan. He's putting together good at-bats. The threat of power as a lefty is always really valuable. And then over at third base, you know, it's been Urias over there now since the team acquired Adames. The Travis Shaw injury was obviously a big blow, you know, to lose another lefty bat. So I do really think they like their options there, but if you had to point to a place to upgrade, that's probably the place that they would look.
True or false, Sophia, all of the Brewers All-Stars this year will be pitchers?
Oh, that's a tough one. Oh, I mean, I want to get greedy and send so many of them, but...
You can be.
I know. I'm going to say false because I strongly believe, and I will be on a campaign from here on out until the All-Star game happens, that Omar Narvaez deserves to be at the All-Star game. Just He's in the top three of virtually every offensive category for catchers. I think his defense has been great. He's calling great games for this pitching staff. He deserves a lot of credit for how well the starting rotation and the bullpen has performed. You know, the difference from him this year to last year, the turnaround, I mean, you're seeing a complete player. So I'm going to say false, but only because I so strongly believe that Omar Narvaez deserves to be an all-star.
Talking with Sophia Minert, Al Minert's favorite daughter on Wilde and Tausch. Sophia, one more for me, and then Greg's got an asterisk-related question. Brewers are 38-28, is that right, where they stand currently? I saw a stat last night, and it's on Twitter, so Lord knows how accurate it is, but that the Brewers were 10-3 in games started by Woodruff, 5-6 in games started by Corbin Burnes, although in those six losses they've scored a combined 6 runs. They're 10-3 in games that Freddie Peralta has started, and everybody else, they're 13-15. Is there, you know, Greg asked you about all-star pitchers. Is there a chance that they can find that fourth who's really going to deliver? I know Hauser's pitched pretty well at times, but what's the feeling with the rest of that rotation right now?
I mean, I think they're doing their jobs, right? I think, you know, Adrian has made one appearance out of the bullpen. He did have two tough starts, short starts of 3 innings and 4 innings. In the middle of May, but I think he's rebounded really nicely since then. And then I think Brett Anderson is like giving you what you expect. You know, for Brett, he's pitching tonight. His last couple of starts have really just been a grind. And I think it's, you know, he is a ground ball pitcher. He pitches to contact. He does not have the strikeout stuff that the big three, as you say, Woody and Burnes and Peralta have. He just pitches differently. He has to pitch to contact. He's going to pitch on the edges. And unfortunately for him, this is like the life of a ground ball pitcher. It feels like in his last couple of starts, the balls have eyes and they're, you know, they're finding holes. They're going down the line. They're going past defenders. It's like he's had some really tough luck innings here through no fault of his own. And I think, you know, Brett is a guy, though, that can still give you a quality start when he's efficient, when he's pitching well. So, you know, I think, you know, Eric Lauer, too, I think they're trying to get more consistency out of him. We saw him last night, and I think what we saw last night was kind of indicative of how his season has gone. It was two tough innings, then he rebounded really nicely and was able to give the team 5 with how efficiently he was able to get through the next 3. So, I mean, yeah, it's easy to say, like, wouldn't it be nice to go out and get another, you know, top-of-the-line arm in that rotation? But, again, they've got 3 monsters at the top. So I think they're good with what they have.
All right, Sophia, let's talk punctuation, shall we? Should the Bucks advance past the Brooklyn Nets in the Eastern Conference semifinals and the Nets play the rest of the series without All-Stars James Harden and Kyrie Irving, do you feel the need to put an asterisk, the poor asterisk, next to the series win for the Milwaukee Bucks? And should they win an NBA title after getting by the Nets, who are shorthanded, does the entire operation deserve an asterisk? Because, well, it's not quite the same because one of the teams they played, at least one, was not full strength.
No. I'm anti-asterisk.
Okay, Jesse, I notice you're not playing any sound effects there. Sophia, that means you agree with me and that you do not agree with Jesse, who so vehemently believes that it's somehow less special if the Bucks beat the Nets without Kyrie and Kevin and James Harden.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like a woulda, coulda, shoulda kind of argument, right? Like, I mean, you have to like play the teams that are in front of you. You know, you can't control, you know, your job is to like get into the postseason. I feel like this is true for any sport. Your job is to get into the postseason, and then you have to play the team in front of you, regardless of what the circumstances are. And I think that's true for the Bucks too, right? Like, say if they were missing some of their big stars, or yeah, who knows what happens the rest of the series. I think you'd have to say the same thing if the roles were reversed. So I feel like it doesn't take away from anything that's happening in the series. I mean, the Bucks still have to win two out of the next three to advance, and that's not an easy task, and they're going to have to do it on the road. So, to me, that's not an easy task. I mean, I think you could look at the West and, like, would you say the same thing about the Suns beating the Lakers? Because the Suns are a really good team, and, you know, they just swept Denver. So I think, you know, you can just as easily make that case for other teams.
But it is different, Sophia. If the Brewers win a Game 7 against Clayton Kershaw versus, I looked up a random pitcher, Kyle Gibson of the Texas Rangers.
Ooh, I like him.
Like, it's different if you beat Kershaw. It's different if you beat Kyrie and Katie and Harden all together on the floor. It's not that the championship is invalid. It just means a little bit more. You see where I'm coming from there?
I hear you, but if we're talking about a series win or a game seven, I think of this saying that one of my old bosses used to tell me, which is, don't tell me about the pain, just show me the baby. Like, I'm like, just show me the baby. Just win.
Yes.
And I don't care how you do it.
Just show me the baby. That's the miracle line from Sophia.
Don't tell me about the pain, just show me the baby.
Wow. All right, I don't know who that was, but I don't like that saying at all.
Yikes.
Sophia, before we let you go, since we're having you chime in on everything we've discussed today, I have a little bit of a dilemma. You and I have known each other for a long time. I think when I first met you, I was in reasonably good shape. That's no longer the case. So I have been wearing, I have some T-shirts that I would say are a little baggy on me. And as Paula pointed out, I think they make me look even less svelte than I am currently. So I went with a more, I don't want to say it's snug fitting, but it's a little more fitted. It doesn't exactly hug in all the right places, but I think it's an improvement over wearing something really baggy that makes me look like I should be on my 400-pound wedding or whatever those shows are on TLC. Would you say that that is a fashion improvement, or am I taking just as bad of a turn with my shirt selection that is a little tighter fitting?
I think a slimmer fit is always better, because I do agree that the larger size does add volume, which is not what you're going for. So as long as it's not like, you know, a skin tight operation, I think you're better off with a slimmer fit.
Can I write that down? What was that? It adds, a larger shirt adds volume?
Okay. Yeah, it adds volume. Like, it adds, you know, general volume and width, which you don't want.
Lord knows I don't need to add volume or width. Sophia, we always love when we get to talk to you, even when I give your dad a hard time, which I hope now he doesn't follow me, so this is still in my repertoire for every time we talk to you. Thanks so much, and we always appreciate you spending time with us. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a great day.